whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper. And Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag and bare that was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying she hath kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Much people of the Jews therefore knew that He was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He, Jesus, had raised from the dead. Now, one of the things that happens in our days of social distancing, we find ourselves around the table. I've seen a lot of pictures of people playing games around the table, eating around the table. And so it was that around the table, Jesus was gathered in this home that had been open to Him in the village of Bethany, just outside the city of Jerusalem. I want to do three things with you today, and I want to notice three things about this set of events. First of all, I want you to notice the three siblings that were involved. The three individuals, two sisters and a brother. Then I want us to notice the fact that Jesus, the Christ, was the central figure among these siblings. And then I want us to notice in a particular way a pointed application for us in our day that's found in the simple words that said that there were those that came to see Lazarus. Notice with me, first of all, a little bit of the background from John chapter 11. You remember that Jesus and His disciples had been on the other side of the Jordan River, on the eastern side of the river. The Bible tells us that Lazarus, a man whom Jesus loved, fell sick. And His sisters sent to Jesus and told Him, asked Him to come, told Him that the man whom Jesus loved was ill. Jesus waited 3 days. Scriptures tells us that He waited that way because He told His disciples He was glad that He had not been there, because there was something that was going to be shown in a marvelous way to the glory of God. Jesus and His disciples went back. They went to that place where Lazarus had been laid in the tomb. He'd been there long enough that his body had begun to decay and the smell was evident. And yet Jesus called this body to life and called it forth out of the grave. Lazarus came bound hand and foot in the grave clothes in which he'd been buried. And Jesus gave the instruction to the disciples that they were to loose him and set him free from the bondage that he had. Jesus came to remind, first of all, Mary and Martha that He wasn't, as God, was not bound by our perception of time and days. God doesn't operate on our time schedule, but He operates on the best time schedule because He knows what He has planned. And as He came to remind them and us that He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus, the Christ. But the next thing we find as we begin, and we're told in the end of chapter 11 that there were some who believed on Jesus because of what they'd seen. There were others who simply went their way. Some of them went to the Pharisees. Some of them simply went their way. Now, John chapter 12 begins by telling us that between the resurrection of Lazarus and the time that Jesus would go into the city of Jerusalem, Mary and Martha and Lazarus had Jesus in their home. They had a supper for Him. Look at those three individuals, this family picture. First of all, there was Martha, one of the sisters. Martha, we're told in the first two verses, was that Martha was the server. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He had raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. Martha was a server. Mary, the other of the two sisters, was an individual who gave herself. She recognized the worthiness of Jesus in her actions, and that she poured out things of great value that she had to Jesus. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Mary was a better sister than Martha. Martha was serving because of her love for Jesus. Mary poured out what she had because of her love for Jesus, and Jesus never said one was better than the other. But they were serving in different ways. And then there was Lazarus. Lazarus sat at the table with Jesus. In each of these three individuals, there's something that I want you to see about us. But I want you to see, in looking at us, that we have the same situation they had. In the middle of it all, about everything that went on in their lives, is the central place of Jesus Christ. Martha was the server, but she was there to serve Jesus. Others benefited, but the supper was made for Jesus. Mary poured out spikenard, an expensive ornament, and the whole room was filled with the aroma. Everybody received the benefit and the blessing of her praise to Jesus. Lazarus was a man who had been dead. Only a few days before, his body was decaying in a grave. He sat at the table with Jesus. He enjoyed a fellowship with Jesus. And others saw him there. But every one of them was around Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, in our lives today, the one who is the source of all blessing for our life, the one who ought to be the centerpiece of all of our actions, of all of our worship, of all of our service, not just in going to church when we can go, but in what we do for other people, the centerpiece is Jesus. Jesus is not a part of our lives. Jesus is the center of our lives. We, like Martha, have been loved by Him. His grace has blessed our earthly tabernacles, our body. He's come into our home. Remember that Paul said about our bodies, "Know ye not that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price." We're the recipients of the grace of God through the redemption that is in Jesus. We have reason to serve others. Jesus would also say in the book of Matthew that when we did to the least of His brethren, we did to Him. Mary was an individual who loved to sit at the feet of Jesus. Now Martha, the server, was not always really glad about everything that went on. Luke chapter 10 tells us of another dinner that was in this home. We're told there that Martha was cumbered with much serving. This is in Luke chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. She was cumbered about with much serving. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear His words. Martha came complaining to Jesus and said, "Tell my sister to get up and help me." Jesus didn't say, "Martha, you're wrong." What He said was, "There's a good part that I won't deprive her." She understood her need of Jesus. She understood the unworthiness of her life. She understood the forgiveness that she had had. She understood the value that Jesus was to her. And she poured out those things of value to Him. Beloved, we ought to remember the value that Jesus has in our life, and that the things that He gives us, we're stewards of His blessing. Every good gift comes to us from above. Every blessing we have is from His hand. They're not given to us just to be possessors of those blessings. They're given to us to be a conduit of those blessings, that we would pour them out to His praise, to the benefit of others that are around us. A server, a worshiper. But then there's Lazarus. And I would tell you folks that at the core, male or female, if we've come to know God's grace in our lives, we're all like Lazarus. We are dead in sin by our own fleshly nature. I want you to turn with me for a moment, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to begin with the beginning verses of this chapter. And I want you to notice the language. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice with me, please, the first five verses. "And you..." Now, notice this doesn't apply to your neighbor. This doesn't apply to the other folks, your friends. This is you. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Lazarus was dead. He was in the grave. And he was bound in the bondage of that death. "In times past, you walked according to the course of this world," the natural nature of man, "according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past." Now that word "conversation" doesn't just mean just, oh, that's what we talked about. We had our lifestyle. We had our actions. We had our choices. We had our living according to the lusts or the desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Lazarus was just as dead as everybody else that was in the tomb. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Now, He loved Mary and Martha. He had come to them. He loved Lazarus. He came to raise him. You see, Jesus loves us. God says in Jeremiah chapter 31, "I have loved you with a loving kindness." With an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn you. In John 3:16, Scripture says, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And He goes on to say that He's made us to sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. What do you think Lazarus must have felt like to sit down at that table knowing where he had come from and knowing the only reason why he was where he was that day? Jesus. And he sat at that table and was able to eat with that table. You remember what David says in Psalm 23? That God hath prepared for us a table in the presence of our enemies, in the world about us. He prepares a place for our fellowship and our communion with Him. Lazarus had been quickened by the power of God in the voice of Jesus the Christ. Jesus called him, "Lazarus, come forth." But the moving of Lazarus was through the quickening power of God the Holy Spirit. We're saved by the grace of God in the blood of God the Son, Jesus Christ, and we're called through the regenerating power of God the Holy Spirit that quickens us, changes us, brings us from death to life at the call of Jesus. Lazarus is a picture of every one of us that has been brought to see our need of regeneration for our nature of sin. Our need of a Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. Our need of His voice. Our need of a place with Him. Maybe you're that person today. By grace, you're saved. You see, the joy of this also is it didn't depend on Lazarus. Lazarus couldn't get himself out of the grave. Lazarus couldn't even unwrap himself from the grave. But God, by His grace in Christ, and through the liberty that was brought to the living man, by Him being set free, we are given liberty through the truth of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. You see, we're here to serve. We're here to praise. But all of us are here because Jesus has brought us out of death through His life. He died. He was buried. But Peter reminds us in Acts chapter 2, it was not possible that death should be holden of Him. And at His call, beloved, it's not possible for death to hold us. But now I want you to look at one other thing today. When we rejoice in the grace of God, I want you to see something that struck me about verse 9. This is part of those in-between things that sometimes don't get the attention. Lazarus' resurrection was a well-known thing. A pretty big change to go from the tomb to the dinner table. What happened in the city of Jerusalem was a well-known thing. But my question to you is, what effect did Lazarus have on the others? You see, verse 12 says that there were those who came to Mary and Martha's house, not for Jesus' sake only. Now, they came to see Jesus. They were there for Jesus' sake, but they were not for Jesus' sake only, but they came to see Lazarus. What effect did Lazarus have on those that came? Folks, I'm going to tell you today that we as believers in Jesus Christ are at a period of time when we have an opportunity to be seen in our fellowship with Christ in the midst of this world, a world that's filled with a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of changes. But like Lazarus, When we sit in fellowship with Christ, when we spend our time with Him, when we hear His Word, when we pray in communion with Him, when we join together with others of His body, when we pour out those things of value to Him in our praise, when we simply live with Christ, we have an opportunity for people to look at us and see what a difference new life in Jesus Christ makes. We've been brought from death to life. Now, maybe you haven't already spent 3 days in a tomb behind a stone, but you've been quickened from death to life. If you know Jesus Christ as the Son of God, it's by the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "No man calleth Jesus Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." And if we've been changed by the power of His grace, what do people see in us when they see Him through us? You see, Jesus is no longer sitting at a table on the earth, but you and I have an opportunity to sit and demonstrate His grace in a world about us because of the change of His grace in our hearts. A sense of comfort, to find comfort that He's always close to us. And His Word says to us, "Fear not." A sense of assurance that no matter how much the world changes, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I trust Him. To know that even if death unexpectedly sudden, death from a tragic manner, death from a disease that no one else can control, death from all of the things, the fear of death, that we sit and have no fear. Now, we're not to be foolish. We're not going to expose ourselves. We're not going to tempt to the Lord in that way. We ought to be prudent. We ought to be careful. But you see, we also ought to have no fear of what God allows to come our way. Lazarus had been there, and he understood that he had a life of certainty because of Jesus Christ. May we recognize that our life, may we recognize that our hope, may we recognize that the promise of life eternal in God's presence around a table in heaven, as it were. In my Father's house are many rooms, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you to myself. You see, folks, in Jesus Christ, we're going to be with Him in glory as well. Your name may not be Lazarus, but if you're a recipient of the grace of God, you have the same opportunity. You and I have the opportunity for those who come see us to see the power of the grace of God as He changes our lives. First of all, spend time sitting down with Jesus. You may not eat beans and cornbread with Him, but spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in fellowship with Jesus. Spend time in such a way that it might be seen of you like it was of the apostles, when we're told in the book of Acts that there were those who saw them, even some that had come to arrest them. They knew these men had been with Jesus. May our actions, may our words, may our hope, may our testimony of the grace of God that abides within us say, these men have been with Jesus. You see Jesus when you see me. That's not a matter of pride. That's not a matter of bragging. That's a matter of the grace of God that overcomes all that I am. A matter that of the grace of God that shines through the weakness of my flesh. That God, who shined out of darkness, hath shined in our life. May others see us. They came to see not only Jesus, but Lazarus also. Whether you're a Martha and you have some particular service, whether you're a Mary and you pour out your heart in song or in praise in some way, we're all a Lazarus. May they see us to the praise of Jesus Christ. Lord God, help us, we pray, that our lives would be seen sitting with Jesus as Lazarus was. For You are a present help to us. You are the One who has changed us. Guide us, guard us, keep us, and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.